Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Redemption Hill podcast. We are a community of people learning the way of Jesus to bless our city of Boise, Idaho, and beyond. Redemption Hill is a unique place. We are a collective of micro churches that do life together throughout the week and gather on Sundays to grow, worship, and celebrate what God is doing in our city. You are invited to join us Sundays at 9 a.m. at Discovery Church in Boise, where you can find the community you need in any season of your life. More details can be found at redemptionboise.org. Up next is the teaching segment from this week's Sunday gathering. Afterwards, stay tuned for more information on how to get connected at Redemption Hill.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being here. That was fun, wasn't it? It's a hard act to follow. Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. Sheesh. It's a lot of pressure. All right, so I want you to use your imagination for a minute. You're sitting on a blanket in the desert, leaning back against a rock, and you're surprisingly comfortable. For you, it's just another life as your night in your life as a shepherd. The sun has set, the light blue of the sky has turned to orange and pink, and back to blue and finally black. The air is cool, it's quiet. There's no sound of traffic or airplanes overhead. Maybe the sound of an occasional barking dog in the distance. There's not an ounce of light pollution, and the night sky is peppered with more stars than you ever remember seeing before. As you look out into the patch of pasture in front of you, you can make out faintly silhouettes of white against the ground. They're not rocks, but sleeping sheep, undistracted by your campfire and the conversation that surrounds it. Everything is still and quiet. When suddenly, out of nowhere, emerges someone or something that wasn't there before, and it's putting off light that is described as the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine the terror and awe and wonder that these shepherds must have felt? I've never encountered an angelic being while I was camping, but one time I was camping with some friends. We were on a houseboat in the middle of nowhere, and we were sleeping on the top of the roof of this houseboat, listening to podcasts about Sasquatch, which were pretty intense, I might add. And out of nowhere, in the corner of my eye, I saw a string of lights start to emerge across the sky. And in that moment, I was quite certain that we were being invaded by UFOs. In reality, I'd just never seen Starlink before, but I was terrified. Similarly, one time I was hunting with those same friends and came around a corner and saw a mountain lion at about 10 yards. And I remember like the terror and awe and having to ask my friend if the thing right in front of our eyes was actually right in front of our eyes. And I imagine these shepherds felt a combination of similar emotions. It wasn't just like, oh, cute little angel. It was terror. It was awe and wonder. And of course, the angel utters the words, "Don't be afraid." This wasn't his first rodeo. He had recently visited Zechariah and prophesied about the birth of a great prophet that would come through his line. Similarly, the angels had met with Mary and promised that she would be the mother of the Messiah, even though she was a virgin. He goes on, "I've got good news. Not far from here in Bethlehem, the Messiah has been born, the Savior of Israel and the world." And an important difference to note, these shepherds were not the father of a great prophet or the mother of the soon-to-be Messiah. These men, or perhaps boys, were shepherds, keepers of the sheep. They worked with animals. They lived with animals. They probably smelled like animals. The angel continues, "This is your sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a feeding trough for animals." Then right after encouraging these shepherds to not be afraid, the black skies peppered with stars peels back right in front of their eyes again, and out of nowhere emerges thousands of angelic beings. What is described as an army of angels singing and praising God, saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." As quickly as these messengers appeared, they were gone. What I want to draw our attention to this morning is the immediate response of these shepherds. Luke reports that they hurried, they made haste, they rushed to the nearby village known as Bethlehem, where they found Mary and Joseph, and in turn, a baby in a feeding trough. They didn't wait until morning. They didn't wait until the weekend. They didn't pause until the pace of their life slowed down. They didn't look for people to cover their shift or make a few stay and watch the sheep while the leaders went and looked. No, they all left the sheep at that moment, left them right where they were, and went to Bethlehem in the middle of the night. It turns out some things are worth dropping everything for. In verse 20, it says that after talking with Mary and Joseph, the shepherds told everyone they knew around town what they had seen and heard from the angels, and that it was all true. Eventually, they ended up going back to their gigs in the desert with hearts that were praising and glorifying God. I can't imagine that those shepherds ever looked up at the night sky the same. Here we are, a couple of thousand years later, telling their story yet again. Why? The reason we keep on telling this story is because it marks the pivotal moment in all of human history. As our angel Scotty closed the play with the passage from John, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's a big deal. Not only is this moment the most pivotal moment in all of human history, but it communicates possibility. That regular folks like you and me here in this room on a Sunday morning attending a Christmas play can stand on holy ground. That there is a God who wants to meet with regular people like us, the overlooked and the unqualified, right where we are. We've noted the shepherds' response to the angelic meeting, but what about ours? How should we respond to the good news of God moving into the neighborhood? Wendell Berry says in one of his Sabbath poems, "We cannot turn away the thought as we go out cold to our barns toward the long night's end, that we ourselves, those of us here in this room this morning, are living in the world it happened when it happened for the first time. That we could be the ones who open a stall and find them breathing there. The child bedded in straw, the mother kneeling over him, the husband standing in belief he can scarcely believe, in light that lights them from no source that we see." For those of us here this morning, any space can be the sacred space of divine encounter or discovering the Messiah for the first time. There was nothing particularly magical about the field the shepherds were sleeping in, or spiritual about the makeshift barn inside a cave where they found Jesus. The truth is, for us, it could be your car, your living room. It could be a children's play that you attended once on a Sunday morning. Many of you have the question, is this possible? Is this real? Maybe, I'm guessing, many of us in this room struggle to believe something like this could be true. Some of you here believe it with all of your heart. Whether or not you consider yourself a believer this morning is not what matters for this context of this message. It doesn't matter what you think you know in your head. As the angels discovered that night, we are small, limited beings. Like the angel in the desert, I'm not here to encourage you merely to believe something, intellectual acknowledgement. The shepherds were invited to respond in a particular way so that they could experience the one who changes everything. I'm encouraging you, like that angel, to go find out for yourself. Whatever we're doing with our lives, it cannot be more important or so important to ignore the claim that God has moved in the neighborhood and wants us to come over for dinner. What keeps us speculating from a distance? What keeps us in the desert gazing at the fires of Bethlehem from afar? For many of us, especially believers these days, it's distraction. This week, an image formed in my mind of those shepherds in the dark field, lying up against a rock, surrounded by sheep and a million stars, with the bright light of not an angelic being, but of a screen in their hand, drowning out any possibility of divine encounter. Silly, right? I know there's no cell phones in the first century, but it's no less poignant for us. We all know deep down on some level that we've fallen into a way of living and being that distracts us from and drowns out the glory of God's presence, from any active living and breathing relationship with God at all. How can we respond to something that we're too distracted to see or hear? Some of us are distracted by our own busyness. We find new ways to be busy. In an age that was predicted to have work weeks that were in the 20 hours long due to the evolution of technology. How we've done this, I'm not sure, but we've managed to do it. Maybe we're trying to prove something, earn something, accomplish something. To be loved, to be given approval. And many of you are doing good work. There's doctors, teachers, coaches, lawyers in this room. People working hard day in and day out to provide for their families and put food on their tables. This is good. God wants you to do these things. In fact, it's probably what he created many of you to do. It's for these tasks or our collective busyness to keep us from him, to drown out his voice, to alienate us from the relationship that we were all created for. Some things are worth dropping everything for. I want to invite some of you this morning to create space in your lives. You have zero space for God to meet with him. If he was to send you a message, you wouldn't even know how to hear it. I want to invite you to create space in your life. And some of you need to stop creating space in your life. You have this tiny little box that we allow God to interact with us in. And it's not enough. He wants more. He doesn't just want to meet with us once a week where we sing a few songs about him. He wants to transform our lives and make everything new. This Jesus, this one born in a feeding trough, is the one worth dropping everything for, because who he is and the love that he offers is unmatched. So whoever you are this morning, whether you're a believer or not, like the shepherds, you are receiving an invitation, and how you respond will change everything. Because if it is true, if this story that we just witnessed actually happened, and you encounter the Messiah who was laid in a feeding trough and eventually hung on a Roman cross and rose from the dead 3 days later, then this interaction will change the world. And like those shepherds, you will never, ever see the world the same. Let's pray. Father, what a gift that you came to the shepherds, not just the wise men, not just the parents of John the Baptist or Jesus, but in some seemingly random field, you saw some men, some boys, some people who maybe were overlooked, seemingly don't really add that much to the story. They don't bring Jesus anything. They don't have anything to bring. But yet still, you give them the announcement so that they can come experience the wonder of the Messiah, of the Word becoming flesh and blood and moving into the neighborhood. But I imagine a lot of us feel like the shepherd. I often feel like the shepherd, Lord. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for good news. Bless us this morning. Bless all those who are here. We love you. And thank you for the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now that all the kids are here with us, we're all going to stand and we're going to sing a classic Christmas carol together, Joy to the World. So you stand with me.
Thanks again for listening. Make sure to subscribe to get the weekly episodes in your podcast feed. You can find out more on how to get connected with Redemption Hill at redemptionboise.org/connection, where you can fill out the Connect card and start your journey today. For regular encouragement throughout the week, follow us on Instagram at Redemption Boise. We are so glad you're here and are excited to accompany you in your story with God. We hope to see you soon.